For film lovers, the cable channel known as TCM has often been an oasis in the vast desert of programming that fills most cable TV packages. Dependably stalwart in its advocacy of great films of all shapes and sizes and full of discoveries and scholarship, TCM marks a pair of important milestones this year. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. TCM is celebrating the 25th anniversary of its creation this month, as well as the success of its 10th annual Classic Film Festival. Joining me to discuss these two milestones and some of TCM's history, I'm delighted to have on the program TCM's Senior Director of Program Production, Scott McGee. Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to be here. I do have one question for you, though. Who is Charles Horak? Because I only know
that
Chuck.
That would be your humble host.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been friends, obviously, for some time. That's why you call me my other name. And I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule for us to call you in Atlanta. I guess let's start at the beginning. You know, I was thinking back 25 years, and people of a certain age will remember that TCM stands for Turner Classic Movies, named for the maverick that began the channel. Take us back to 1994. What was so pioneering about what Ted Turner did by launching this channel?
You know, I have a unique perspective as someone who's been at TCM for a very long time. I've been here 19 years. It'll be 19 years in July. So I actually wasn't part of the channel at the inception, which was April 14th, 1994. But I was certainly a fan of classic movies. But my other unique perspective is that I was in one of the various markets that didn't have TCM, that none of the cable companies, back then it was Media One, that was one of the primary carriers in Atlanta, didn't carry TCM. And so the people who launched TCM at its inception, all based in Atlanta, couldn't watch their own channel. So they had to depend on reactions and feedback from people that they knew in New York, and I think it was carried in LA and other markets that did carry TCM upon its launch.
So, that's amazing. So
it's an interesting perspective to have. But, you know, going back to your question, I think that what transpired, what it really meant to have these films launched on TCM, is I think Ted realized that there was, first and foremost, a business need or something to be gained monetarily from these films. While so many other companies and studios kind of relegated their back catalog to the back end of the shelf, I guess you could say, I think Ted realized that there was extreme value in these older titles and the films that made up the MGM, the Warner Brothers, and the RKO library, which is what he had purchased, I think in 1986.
And very few ways back then to see classic films on television.
Yeah, I mean, you had AMC, which was in the business of showing classic movies uncut, largely without commercials. But AMC's, the depth of their library was somewhat limited to what they could license from studios and from archives. And what TCM had from the get-go was they had this vast library to pull from at any given time.
Right.
Somewhere of, I think, 3,000 to 5,000 films that they could pull from, and that constitutes the bulk of TCM from day one.
Because, as you say, Ted Turner had gone out and bought the rights or licensing rights to huge libraries that in the 90s were undervalued by the major studios, who were making, frankly, a lot of money. It was the height of the home video. They were very successful in their releases back then. That economics have changed quite a bit now, and I guess they're beginning to reevaluate some of the value of those libraries as they look backwards. But the notion that a channel would include introductions to films, too, I think was pretty astonishing. And no commercials.
Yes, it was. And it was something that I think people realized at the outset that this is pretty valuable. Now, I should also mention that AMC did have intros as well. They had Bob Dorian, and they had
Nick Clooney for a while.
Nick Clooney, and I think there was one other fellow, I can't remember his name. So they did have intros as well, and they did them quite well. But I think what TCM did starting off was they put a face to the network, and they sort of built the brand. They built this beloved thing with Robert Osborne, who was our host from day one with the very first airing of Gone with the Wind on that day on April 14th of 94.
Amazing. And of course, he became the Pope of the cathedral that is TCM for so many people. Along the way, as AMC, really your only peer, I guess, in that. When I think back to the 90s, typical cable package might have included hundreds of channels. Now it might be 1,000 channels. Other than the premium channels like HBO or Showtime or a few of those, the notion that a cable channel could survive and thrive without commercial revenue seems just unheard of today and so radical for even its time.
It does. And we've been very fortunate to have people in leadership here at TCM and at Turner, Time Warner, who have recognized the value of TCM, of keeping it commercial free. And I hope it'll always be that way. I think people recognize that TCM is a beloved brand because of how much we care and how much thought and how much respect we have for the vision of the not only the original filmmakers, but also the experience of the people watching at home.
We were talking recently that you've been with TCM some 19 years, is that right?
Yeah.
So almost back to the beginning, but a long timer there. I've met over the years through your Classic Film Festival a number of your colleagues that work at TCM, and it strikes me that everyone I've met really, really loves what they do and are cinephiles, movie lovers. I can't think of another broadcaster where you might get that same response.
Yeah, the drawback to that is no one leaves.
So no one can take your job.
It's really unfortunate for those who really would love to work at TCM. No one ever leaves the channel. So it makes for our turnover rate is very, very small. Now that's not to say we have had a number of people leave for various reasons. They went on to other things, but those who left and those who remain, they were all committed to what TCM was and is and will be always about.
With all that longevity, though, when you all stand around the cooler and think back over 25 years, are there some special moments that pop up for reminiscing or in conversation?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly significant programming initiatives, things that we did on set, the people that we had, many of whom are no longer with us. You know, we had a show called Private Screenings, which Robert hosted, and he would bring on a special classic film figure, whether it's Charlton Heston or Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, Jane Powell, Debbie Reynolds, Betty Hutton. And we would have these people on set for the duration of however long it took to shoot the interview, and just giving them the spotlight one more time and just relishing the stories that they would unspool for Robert and for the cameras. I mean, it just made for just moments that won't be repeated. The heyday, I should say, of Private Screenings, when they had the Mickey Rooneys and
like Lauren
Jane
Bacall.
Russell and Robert Mitchum and Lauren Bacall, a lot of these were done in my early years. So I didn't have as much confidence in Young Turk. But one of my favorite memories was when James Garner was on the set here in Atlanta. And while I never spoke to Mr. Garner, you know, I did watch him walk down the hallway and he nodded to me as he went outside to the loading dock to have a smoke. And so it's stuff like that where I can't repeat that. And those moments are just, they're not always going to happen. So it's those kind of little things that kind of mark what makes 25 years so special for me. I should say also that 10 years ago, we started the film festival, and that has comprised more of the just magnificent moments of time, magic, more than anything else.
And a way for this amazing audience that you've created over the first 15 years to begin to come together in person, and get to know one another and see in the early years Robert Osborne up close and personal, and also interviewing some amazing actors at your film festival, another great milestone. You all have reached the 10th year this year. It dawns on me, though, that part of the importance of what TCM is to the people who love film is that you're preserving so many of these recollections and oral histories and video scopes of people who are, as you mentioned, long gone now. And, you know, that history, who knows where it would be, if it would be at all, if it weren't for a repository like TCM. And I guess that's one of the ways you're celebrating right now, the 25th, is you're re-airing some of those, some of that footage?
Yes, we are. In fact, we just aired a best of private screenings, for example, which is just a collage of some of the best moments from the from those shows. And there will be other things that we'll be able to air throughout this year that comprise a lot of our key moments in the past 25 years.
And all of those, of course, were conducted by Robert Osborne, who's so graceful with Golden Age Hollywood celebrities and great actors and filmmakers. Was it his idea initially that TCM needed a film festival?
No. The idea had formed over a handful of years. One of our previous general managers, I don't think he was really that keen on the idea of a film festival, but we had a change in leadership. The idea percolated up to the top again, and we went forward with it, and we, you know, in the early days, we didn't really know when we would have it. We didn't know what time of year. We didn't know. We didn't even have a city in mind. I can tell you that in the early days, we were thinking of something a little smaller in terms of venue, in terms of city.
Right.
So we were considering things like maybe somewhere in New Mexico or Arizona. I think Santa Barbara came up, New Hampshire, Portland, Oregon, I think was mentioned.
We should mention you settled on the heart of Hollywood.
That's
right. Hollywood Boulevard.
That's right. The president of Turner Entertainment Networks at the time, Steve Coonan, said, no, you've got to have it in Hollywood.
Yeah. Go big or go home, right?
That was pretty much his words. Go,
really?
Go big or go home. And so it made total sense. People are fans. They want to come to Hollywood. They want to experience glamour and the nostalgia and walk the streets and walk the venues that these classic film people did, that they walked. And more to the point, it's a lot easier getting some of these figures from classic movies to the festival if it's in Los Angeles.
Sure. Many of them still live there, those who are still alive. And clearly people gathered because of the ability to see some of those celebrities up close and personal and see some great films in a communal setting, which as great as the channel is, it is a special event to get to see these films with a filmmaker, with an audience live. But over the years, it's astounded me the community that has built up around that festival. I don't get the same sense anywhere else I go, any other festival. I see people who go year after year and are just normal movie lovers from all across the nation and even outside the country. But I see them gathering and almost like a reunion of old friends that they've met solely because TCM brought them together.
I'm glad you recognize that, Chuck, because that's something that we had hoped would be a major component or a major part of why the festival would become successful, is capitalizing on that communal spirit that has been really a part of TCM since the very beginning, even though we may not have known it. I mean, as right. I mentioned before, not everybody had TCM in the early days, but in the intervening years, as we heard back from people via viewer mail and emails and the message boards on the what used to be called TurnerClassicMovies.com website, it's now just TCM.com, we would get feedback from fans, rabid fans, people who cared right. deeply on, you know, how often we had Judy Garland as our star of the month. So we knew that there was a very passionate fan base, not just for classic films, but for TCM. And that once we started the film festival, we realized more than ever that there is a community of film fans out there that care not just about the movies themselves, but about TCM and what we're doing. And I should also make note that the festival kind of, it rose along with the prominence of social media.
Right.
And it's on social media that we also realized how powerful our fans are and how vocal and how passionate and how much they love TCM and how much they love each other, frankly.
Yeah, they definitely stay connected through Facebook and other platforms during the year between the festivals. But it's that outgrowth of that community that really opened my eyes to a different aspect of preservation that I don't think I was fully aware of, the importance that TCM has played in the world of preservation. You know, it's having an outlet like TCM to show these great films, I'm sure, drives the economy that allows for the studios to preserve films and restore films and other restorers to do that because they know there's an outlet for them. But beyond that, the importance that TCM has in the world of preservation in creating and sustaining and building new audiences for these films. Otherwise, these films would get restored and sit in a vault most of the time. And I think it's really hard to overestimate the importance that TCM has filled in just creating an audience for these films and how that feeds back into the overall economy of film preservation.
Yeah, what I would say to that is we are very proud to be a part of it, very proud to help expose the work of the preservationists at archives and the studio work that they do on their own films, that we're a part of that process of bringing new audiences to them. But, you know, I would be remiss not to say that really the work begins with the archives. It really begins with those people in the labs, with those people in the archives, doing the Lord's work, if you will, of actually bringing these films back to life. And so I think what we do at TCM is we're just simply a conduit for what they're doing. And that's why having these relationships with MoMA and the Academy and UCLA and all the other archives that we work with, my view is that we're there to help them and bring it to light within that darkened theater. Because, as you said, I mean, these films need to be seen. That's why we preserve them in the first place.
Yep. So 25 years in, any idea where the next 25 years takes TCM?
I don't know. I mean, we have brave new worlds out there. I mean, the cable or the entertainment industry is changing. And as far as I'm concerned, TCM is staying the course. That's our mandate. So we're just doing what we do. And, you know, we've got lots of programming highlights coming up in the year, many films we've never aired before. And I'm sure we'll start working on next year's film festival soon.
It's just amazing. No matter how many films you show, there's still a lot that have never made it to TCM.
I know. In fact, at the last film festival, one of the initiatives that I had brought to the table was a double feature of Tom Mix films.
Right.
There was one called The Great Canny Train Robbery from 26 and a film called The Outlaws of Red River, which was a restoration that MoMA, that the Museum of Modern Art, had recently done. And so we showed the 35mm of Great Canny and Outlaws of Red River on DCP as a double feature at the TCM Film Festival. Well, we've never shown on the channel a Tom Mix film.
Amazing.
So there's a lot more to be unearthed and to bring to our beloved viewers at home.
Well, over the years, I've seen so many films that I would not have ever known existed thanks to TCM, and I really want to thank you for your role in that, and please pass that thanks on to your colleagues as well. I hope you all continue to celebrate 25 great years. Major milestone indeed. Thank you so much, Scott, for talking with me.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
I've been discussing the 25th anniversary of the founding of the cable channel TCM, known back in 1994 as Turner Classic Movies, with TCM Senior Director of Program Production, Scott McGee. TCM is running special archival interviews and programming from its past 25 years daily on its channel, and you can stream some of its classic offerings for free at tcm.com or through the Watch TCM app. TCM also celebrated the conclusion of its 10th annual Classic Film Festival in Hollywood, and its upcoming Classic Cruise is booking fast. For more information on the cruise, log on to tcmcruise.com. For an extended version of today's conversation, log on to ktep.org. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.